She must by now know that she had been wrong about the Kränken. Recalling his own terror upon first sight, it was easy to forgive Theresia her more lingering dread. She would admit her error to him, she would return to the parsonage and do his chores, and in the evenings before she returned to her cottage at the base of the hill they would eat sweet cakes together, as they always had before times, and he would read to her from the Deus Su Partium or the Hortus Deliciarum. He found her arranging some herbs for drying by the glass light in her window. These herbs she had grown in clay pots set on the sill. She bobbed to him as he entered, but continued cutting. "How goes it by you, daughter?" Dietrich said, and she answered, "Well?" And Dietrich searched for something to say that did not sound like an admonition. "No one attended Mass today." But that was an admonition, for Theresia had attended daily. She did not look up. "Were they there? Hans and Gottfried? No. Fine new communicants, you have admitted." Dietrich parted his lips to debate the point. After all, few ever attended the daily Mass, but he thought better of it and commented instead on the warming weather. Theresia shrugged. "Frau Grunsau saw no shadow. Hervig says it will be another cold year. Old One-Eye feels the cold more each year. Do your herbs prosper?"
"Well enough."
She paused in her labor and looked up.
"I pray for you each day, father."
"And I for you." But Theresia only shook her head.
"You baptized them."
"They desired it."
"It mocked the sacrament."
Dietrich reached out and took her by the sleeve. "Who has been telling you such things?" But Theresia pulled away from him and turned her back.
"Please leave."
"But
I..." "Please leave."
Dietrich sighed and turned to the door. He hesitated a moment with his hand on the latch, but Theresia did not call him back, and there was nothing for it but to close the door behind him. Manfred returned from Benfeld on Sexagesima, morose and taciturn, and when Dietrich came to the manor house he found the Herr thoroughly drunk. "War can be honorable," Manfred said without preamble, after Gunther had closed the door of the scriptorium and the two were closeted together. "A man puts on the cloth of war, and his opponent also, and they meet on a field agreeable to both, and they use the tools of war, such as have been agreed upon, and then God defend the right!" He saluted with a goblet, drank it dry, and filled it again from a flagon of neat wine. "God defend the right! Drink with me, Dieter." Dietrich accepted the cup, though he only sipped from it. What befell at Benfeld? "The devil is loose. Bertolt lacks all honor, flies in the wind. Bishop!"
"If you would have better bishops, let the church choose them, and not kings and princes."
"Let the Pope choose, you mean? There would be French spies in every court of Europe. Drink!"
Dietrich pulled a chair across from Manfred and sat. "How has Bertolt driven you to this intemperance?"
"This," Manfred filled his cup, "is not intemperance. It's what he's not done. His lord is Strasbourg, but does he lead? A few lances would have settled things." He smacked the table with the flat of his hand. "Where is that Unterbaum boy?"
"You sent him to the Swiss to learn the true state of affairs."
"That was on St. Blaise's day. He should be back by now. If that goff has run off..."
"He'd not run from Anna Coleman," Dietrich answered mildly. "Perhaps the road delays him. He took great pride in wearing the messenger's cloak. He'd not lightly throw it over."
"It makes nothing," said the Hare in a sudden swing of temperament. "Learned all, Benfield. You know what happened in the Swiss?"
"I heard the Basler Jews were gathered up for banishment."
"Would they had been banished. Mob stormed the compound and set it afire, so all died."
"Herr Gott in heaven," Dietrich half stood crossing himself.
Manfred gave him a sour look. "I've no love for usurers, but there was no charge, no trial, only the mob run wild. Bertolt asked Strasbourg what they intended regarding the Jews, and the councillors answered that they knew no evil of them, and then Bertolt asked the burgomaster, Peter Swaben, why he'd closed the wells and put the buckets away. By me, that was mere prudence, but there was a great outcry against Strasbourg's hypocrisy."
Manfred emptied his cup again.
No man's safe when the mob runs loose, Jew or no. Wants only a grudge.
As well you know. At that reminder, Dietrich drained his own cup, and it shook as he replenished it.
Swammen and his council stood fast, Manfred continued, but the next morning the minster bells announced the procession of the Cross Brothers. The bishop detests them, all the better folk do, but he daren't speak while the vulgar favour them. They... Drink, Dietrich, drink! They marched, two by two the flagellants did, heads bowed, sombre habits, cowls thrown up, bright red crosses, front back cap. Up front walked their master and two lieutenants, with banners of purple velvet and crosses of gold. All this in utter silence, unnerved me that silence did. Had they shouted or danced, I might have laughed, but that quiet awed everyone who saw, so the only sound was the hissing breath of 200 brothers. I thought of some enormous serpent winding through the streets. In the Minster Place, they chanted their litany, and I could think of but one thing.
And what was that?
How bad the poetry was! Ha! The cursed melody entangles my thoughts. I need Peter Minnesinger to exorcise it. Wish I'd laughed now, I might have broken the spell. Cathedral chapter all ran off, naturally. Two Dominicans tried to halt the procession out near Meissen and were stoned for their trouble, so who dares oppose them now? I was told Erfurt closed its gates against them, and Bishop Otto suppressed them in Magdeburg, and the tyrant of Milan erected 300 welcoming gibbets outside the city walls, and the procession went elsewhere.
The Italians are a subtle folk, Dietrich said.
At least Umberto had a spine. The brothers stripped to the waist and processed slowly in a circle, till at the master's signal the singing stopped, and they threw themselves prostrate on the ground. Then they rose and whipped themselves with leather straps, while the three in the center kept a tempus, so that the smacking proceeded in unison. Meanwhile the crowd groaned and shivered and wept in sympathy.
The brotherhoods were less quarrelsome in the beginning, Dietrich ventured. A man required his wife's permission to join.
Which I suppose many were all too happy to give.
And provide fourpence a day to support himself on the road. He made a full confession, vowed to neither bathe nor shave nor change clothes nor sleep in a bed, and to maintain both silence and chastity regarding the other sex.
A serious vow, then, though a hairy, malodorous one. And all for 33 days and 8 hours, I was told.
Manfred's brow creased.
Why 33 days and 8 hours?
1 day, Dietrich told him, for each year of Christ's life on earth.
Truly? Ha! I wish I'd known that. None of us could cipher it. But the old leaders have all died or quit in disgust. Now the masters claim to absolve from sin. They denounce Mother Church, revile the Eucharist, disrupt mass, and drive priests from their churches before looting them. They enroll women now, and one hears that some vows are no longer held so dear.
Manfred tilted his cup, swirled the remnants of his wine, and sighed.
I fear the curse of sobriety is overtaking me. The flagellants heard of the council's obstinacy, and ran wild through the Jewish quarter, drawing the townsmen after them. The Strasburgers rioted for 2 days, deposed Swaben and his council, and installed another, more to their liking. In the end, the bishop, lords, and imperial cities agreed to expel their Jews. On Friday the 13th, the Strasburg Jews were taken up and led the next day into their own cemetery, into a house prepared for them. Along the way, the crowd jeered and threw offal and ripped their clothes to find any concealed money, so that many were almost naked when they arrived.
An outrage! Manfred stared into the dregs of his cup.
Afterward, he said. Afterward, the house was fired, and I am told that 900 Jews perished. The mob looted the synagogue where they held their secret rituals and found the horn of a ram. None knew its purpose, and it was supposed means to signal the enemies of Strasbourg.
Oh! Dear God, said Dietrich, that was the shofar.
to celebrate their holidays.